What were you playing, Ron and Brian?
Go to Mexico.
What's that?
Ron and Brian go to Mexico.
And here we are, everybody. It's episode 25 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the Hall to My Oats, Brian. Brian, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing fine. A little pensive, have to admit. I'm a little pensive.
About?
The pickleback shot.
Oh, I get it. That was our drink of the week. But I don't want to brush over the significance of episode 25, our silver anniversary of an episode, if you will.
Is it silver, or is this the one where we're supposed to get paper plates?
This is silver. I'm actually looking at it as a double silver, because not only is it episode 25, it's 25 years of Ron and Brian.
How do we know that? You know that for a fact? We go back in time, or are we looking at it?
We started in 93 back in
college. Wow, so it is 25 years that we have been rocking this partnership, and starting this year, we brought it back, and we have successfully knocked out 25 episodes. Well, we have to record this one too before we can start patting ourselves on the back. But I think the fact that we got here is something that should be recognized, celebrated, and if people want to send their checks to thank us or gifts or whatnot, go ahead and do it. Knock yourselves out.
And being a silver anniversary, you know, I came home today. I fully expected to have some sort of gift waiting from you, Brian. And I feel like maybe the magic is gone.
I believe that the gift is the part of my soul that you inhabit. Aww. I don't believe that there is a physical object that can take the place or even the significance of knowing that you own a piece of me.
Well, that's fair. Would you like some random trivia as to some couples that are celebrating 25 years this year also?
Absolutely. Knock it out.
Mitch McConnell and his wife Elaine.
Okay. Oh, he's married to a woman?
Yeah. Don't you remember when that guy from West Virginia did his campaign ad talked about Mitch McConnell's Chinese family because his wife's Asian?
I could have sworn that Mitch McConnell was married to Succubus.
I don't know much about her. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals, married for 25 years to director Jay Roach.
I figured she would have married an Egyptian.
You would think, but not quite. Mario Lemieux, former Penguins player.
Married to Wayne Gretzky's former wife.
I don't think so.
Mary Rosenfeld.
And Marley Matlin, famous deaf actress.
Sorry, I did not hear that.
But the funny thing is if you go on Wikipedia, that's actually how they label her photo, is deaf actress.
That's a shame.
I'm like, really? Isn't she more than that?
She's a lot more than that. She won an Oscar.
She did.
Hey, I've never won an Oscar.
Not yet. I have faith in you.
You said for that. Thank you. I still have, you know, I'm practicing, you know, taking acting classes every week. You know, I've done some off-Broadway work and, you know, haven't made it onto the silver screen yet. But there's always hope.
Right. So let's just get the pain out of the way. All right. This week we had Drink of the Week. It was a pickleback that was recommended by Jess, I believe.
Yes.
Against Smoketoberfest, recommended by Billy. People prefer the pickleback.
I'm going to admit that I voted for the pickleback, not because I wanted to do the pickleback, but I thought that it would make for better podcasting to hear you have to do the pickleback.
And I have to admit, I voted for the pickleback just because I didn't feel like making the cinnamon syrup for the Smoketoberfest.
Which is a smart move, my friend. Very smart. That's the thing I value in the way that you think, the way your brain works, is that you're very strategic. Nothing is at random. Nothing happens for happenstance. It is always for a purpose. You're slightly Machiavellian, if I could go so far.
Everything is plotted out. I will admit that.
Correct.
So for those out there who may not know, a pickleback is a shot of whiskey. So I've got that right there. I'm doing a little Maker's Mark tonight. What do you have?
I went with Jameson Irish whiskey.
Nice, nice. And just so you can see that I'm not wussing out here, there is as much brine in this shot glass as there is whiskey in the other shot glass.
May I ask you a question before we embark on this path that we cannot return from?
Please do.
Do you do the pickle first or the pickle after?
You know, you would think that would have been something that we researched, but I believe you do the whiskey first and the brine as your chaser.
See, I was going to go the opposite way.
Really?
I thought that you do the pickle, so this way the whiskey washes the brine off of it.
Yeah, it says a pickleback is a type of shot wherein a shot of whiskey is chased by a shot of pickle.
Brine. You are correct. You are correct.
Alternatively, we could have done a shot of whiskey chased by a bite of pickle, generally a whole dill.
Listen, if I remember you from college, we went to that frat party once, and you walked out of there saying you're never going to bite another pickle.
That's true. Very good point.
So are we going to do this? Just get it over with?
Hold on. I got to steel myself. I got a little paper towel because I fully expect to throw up after I do this. But all right. So shot of whiskey, chase it with a shot of pickle brine. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. All
right.
All right, so not as horrible as I thought it was going to be, but nothing pleasant about it. Brian, how are you doing over that?
I need a moment to recover. The pickle juice, and I went with a what was the kind of pickle juice that I went with?
I don't know.
Hold on. No, I sent you a photo of the pickle. I went with the Clausen kosher dill. It is pungent.
With the Vlasic kosher dill stackers, and that it's very pickly. No doubt about it. Oh,
I'm not enjoying myself.
No. Let me just get another little water here.
Hold on. Yeah, no, definitely. What is water really going to clear the palate?
I don't think so. So I brought a little backup.
Oh, what is that noise?
So this is a little from Evil Twin Brewing. This is a little Key Lime Pie IPA.
Well, I've got a Goose Island 312 Urban Wheat Ale.
Oh, that is tasty, my friend. If you like a little leaning towards the sour, might I give a shout out to Evil Twin and their Key Lime Pie. And a nice little side effect, it does eradicate the taste of pickle from your mouth.
Yeah, it's gone. I have to say, a swig of beer, and I don't taste that, the brine. Why? First off, can we just say, burn in hell, Reggie Cunningham?
Is that who invented the pickleback?
In Williamsburg, Brooklyn, 2006, Reggie Cunningham coined the phrase pickleback when he was introduced to the pairing by a southern man walked into his bar and ordered a shot of pickle juice and had it with Old Crow bourbon.
Oof.
That's disgusting.
A lot of badness happening right there.
Not the first terrible thing to come out of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, but probably not the last.
Yep, no doubt. Shall we just leave this drink in the past? I'm ready to forget it already.
Yeah, let's move on.
All right.
This week in Racism.
All right. So we had last week, we had our Wrigley Field racist going for his fourth win in a row, going for retirement. And he was taken out at the knees by Hillary Brooke. Not only won the highest single week vote total in This Week in Racism history.
How many votes did she get?
She ended up with 10, 10 to 3.
Wow. 10 to 3.
That it looked is, like it was a shutout for a while. And then, you know, I also have to say, I don't know about you, Brian, but also seems to be one of the more divisive candidates for This Week in Racism that we've had. People arguing with me whether she's racist or not.
And I'm going to say this, and I might be slightly susceptible to wanting to call racism where I see it. But watching this last week, and I went back and I listened to the podcast and I heard my reaction to it, and I was completely on board the idea of this woman was a terrible racist. And a listener reached out to me on Facebook and pointed out that at no point did this woman mutter or say anything racist. But her actions were stopping a man walking into her apartment complex that she didn't recognize and preventing him from coming in because she felt that he had not proven that he had that he was a resident of that apartment building. However, unlike a slew of our previous nominees and winners of the This Week in Racism, or Racist of the Week poll, here was an instance where no racism was ever verbalized. It was based on actions.
Right.
And the assumption is that it was a woman who was Caucasian stopping an African-American man, and that was seen as the racist act. And I did not have a comeback to this.
I mean, it's interesting because you don't know whether she would have reacted the same had the gentleman been white or not. But it feels, I don't know, it just feels very racist to me.
Oh, it feels very dirty. It felt racist. However, I mean, if you compare her to the Wrigley Field racist.
Are you going to go marry the Wrigley Field racist? Because you seem to love this Wrigley Field racist.
All right, I'm going to let you know the truth. I invested heavily in his stock.
Okay.
I placed a bet in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. I said that he would automatically get the first round bye in our upcoming racism tournament of champions. And I would benefit monetarily if he were to win this week, but that's not going to happen.
No, once definitely again, not.
Once again, Brian makes some bad gambling picks.
All right, so we've got some interesting candidates against this week.
There have been some updates on Hillary Brooke.
There have been. Please update me.
Well, the first one is that she is no longer gainfully employed.
True.
She worked for a property management company that owned several properties in low to moderate income neighborhoods, was a minority owned company, and they felt that her actions did not represent the company in the way they wanted it to. So she's out of a job. Secondly, it was revealed that her estranged husband is half African American, which to me is what is the giveaway for the tone she used and why I still don't believe she did not feel safe by this man's presence in her apartment building.
Right. I did see the interview with her estranged husband. I think my favorite part of that was the fact that he never refers to her by name, just the individual in question.
Yes. Well, clearly there's some anger there.
Well, that people were throwing his name around and his company's name around, I'm sure he was not a fan of.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So anyway, so let's see who Hillary is going to be going up against this week. We had down in Ponte Vedra, Florida, we had Golf Cart Gail, who called the police on a black man watching his son play soccer. She thought that he had been yelling at the referee. He explained that he was just admonishing his son for not listening to the referee, but she still called the police to have him escorted from the field. Going over to North Charleston, South Carolina, you have gas station Brenda called the police on a group of black people that were outside of a Murphy Express gas station. They were in the area for a peaceful anti-violence protest, which had ended near the station. The woman claimed the group was destroying the outside of the station in a call to 911, while the group was actually just there purchasing drinks for the children in their group. The group had already moved on by the time the police got there, and no report was filed. And the vice president of Murphy USA was scheduled to travel to North Charleston today to meet with local community activists. There's a lot of this in the South. Go figure. Because next is Charlotte, North Carolina. You have Thomasboro Academy, who recently had a class trip to the pumpkin patch on Hall Family Farm. The tour guide said to the students, many of whom are minorities, "You're not here to pick cotton today. You're not here to pick fruit. You are here to pick pumpkins." Kevin Hall, owner of the farm, said it was all a misunderstanding and called the school to apologize. Going out to Barcelona, Spain, I'm sure everyone's seen this video recently. A man refusing to sit next to an elderly black woman on a flight to London. The video shows the man referring to her as a, quote, ugly black bastard and threatening to put her into another seat if she didn't move. Ryanair relocated her to another seat near her daughter. Essex police have identified the man and have provided his information to Spanish authorities, which are currently investigating the incident. Ryanair has not reached out to the woman and will not comment on the incident, saying it is now a police matter. And they're just getting torn up on social media right now.
Well, that's because they did absolutely nothing.
Right.
I mean, here was an instance where it appeared that it was a there were three seats on one side of the aisle, three seats on the other. Here was a man who was sitting in the window seat. There was a elderly African woman that was sitting on the aisle seat. Maybe he was upset she was sitting at the aisle, but he literally was throwing a fit because he did not want her sitting next to him or on the same area as him, demanding that she be put in a different seat. And the airline, the steward, if you would, asked the woman if she would be willing to move. Literally, and this was after there were other people on the plane who sat there and admonished this guy's behavior. And the airline clearly would not take a stand against this man.
Right. And as a result, their stock has dropped about 7% in the past week. So we'll see if they comment on that further. Going out to Arkansas, Republican Representative French Hill is distancing himself from a radio ad placed by the Political Action Committee Black Americans for the President's Agenda, which focuses on his race against Democrat Claire Tucker. And we actually have a copy of the ad here.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Wow. I had not heard that one.
I heard it and I was like, you have to get this out there for the people. I mean, first of all, just the name of the Political Action Committee, Black Americans for the President's Agenda. I would be willing to wager a significant amount of money that there is not a single African-American involved in that pack.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I would love to see their membership role. I would believe that it also overlaps the local KKK chapter.
And so also San Francisco Giants co-owner Charles Johnson has been caught up in this as he donated $1,000 to this particular political action committee back in July. The San Francisco Giants organization has issued a statement distancing itself from Johnson and the pack.
Now, do we know the ethnicity of Mr. Johnson?
I do not, to be honest with you. I did not do my due diligence on that.
Was he, what's his name? Let me quickly look it up.
Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson, San Francisco Giants?
Yes.
All right, because this could be one of those things where it actually is a African-American male who automatically just falls for a fake organization.
What's
but
the
it may not be. Oh, very white.
Okay.
Very, very white.
Very old, very white.
Very old, very white. He looks like something that has been brined overnight.
Also, continuing in the vein of really horrible recordings, this just came out a few hours ago. There is a racist robocall in Florida going out against Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum. Apparently a neo-Nazi group in Idaho is behind the calls, and this is what the call sounds like.
Well, hello there. I is the Negro Andrew Gillum, and I'll be asking you to make me governor of this here state of Florida. My steamboat, who done call me monkey, is doing a lot of hollering about how expensive my plans for health care be. But he be thinking for the white man's medicine, which is very expensive because it uses science and whatnot. But the medicine of my African race be very affordable. For instance, putting the chicken feet under your pillow during the full moon don't cost hardly nothing at all. So I's promise that you make me Andrew Dillon, the governor of every people's wealthy ailing, will get all the chicken feet they need. As to the claim by my esteemed opponent that I don't like the Jews, nothing be further from the truth. It was the Jews who owned the slave trade what done brought us Negroes to America to kill. And they the ones that been putting Negroes in charge over the white folk, just like they done after the Civil War. All the Jews don't vote me, Andrew Gillum, governor of this here state of Florida. This message paid for by the roadtopower.com.
Again, a lot to unpack there.
I'm not even going to open up the suitcase on that one.
So anyway,
that's terrible.
So apparently the Anti-Defamation League notes that Scott Rhodes, the man behind Road to Power, is a white supremacist who achieved local notoriety in late 2017 when the police linked him to the distribution of white supremacist propaganda at Sandpoint, Idaho High School. So horrible individual. I just had to play it. I don't want to even nominate the person, but I heard it, and it was one of the more horrible things I heard this week. Absolutely.
I'm going to say this, that genuinely made me uncomfortable to listen to.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's move on. Kansas City, not the Kansas City, the other Kansas City, Missouri. Is that where it is?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. There was a drunk white woman caught on video yelling racial slurs at two black men outside of a bar. The woman has not been identified publicly, but the Kansas City Star is reporting that she has been fired from her job. But the person that we are nominating to go up against Hillary Brooke this week comes to us again from the South, Lovettsville, Virginia, where there was a white woman who harassed a family from Guatemala dining at Andy's restaurant in Lovettsville because they were speaking Spanish.
I'm showing you stuff.
We do. I don't
I'm
see you.
About this
yeah,
thing. He doesn't speak English, so how will you're not a police?
Yes, he has
are you a police?
Yeah, I'm
no, I know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go back to your country, okay?
You do
don't
too.
Feel that I'm here.
You too.
You're country.
You don't care about.
He do not. Come over here and freeload on American, okay?
Look, we gotta get out of here.
I'm tired of this. Shit. It's the same as Sweden. You freeload of us.
So she was kicked out of the restaurant, and the restaurant has since posted on Facebook that she is banned for life from their establishment.
And I would say that all makes sense. And I would also like to thank listener Billy, who forwarded that racism clip to us.
Yes.
It's nice to see listeners getting involved. hearing the call to action of exposing racism where they see it, and ensuring that there is good quality audio and or video for us to exploit at that moment. But yeah, I would say, I mean, clearly, here we go, you know, in a way, not Hillary Brooke. This woman, definitely racist.
Yes. So it'll be an interesting matchup. Hillary, formidable opponent going up against the Lovettsville racist, which if we find out her name, we'll update it with the name.
And all I'm going to say, people, vote with your heart.
That's right. Before we get out of here, I did also want to play something. This the New York Times opinion page actually put out this public service advertisement starring Niecy Nash earlier today.
No, for a charcoal grill. No charcoal grills are allowed.
You're scared.
Please leave me alone.
You're white.
African-American.
Illegally selling water without a permit.
But with cell phone cameras and social media, calling 911 on your black or brown neighbors just isn't what it used to be. Hi, I'm Niecy Nash, actress, inventor, and advocate for not calling 911 on black people for no goddamn reason. I'd like to introduce you to a radical new product that will save you all the headaches of being filmed and outed as a racist douche. It's called 1-844-WHITE-FEAR, and it's revolutionizing the way racist white people cope with black people living life near them.
1-844-WHITE-FEAR. There's a black guy outside my neighbor's house, and he's walking around.
Our experienced staff have been living while black in America their entire lives. Darren here is a former Obama aide who had the cops called on him for moving into his new apartment. Yes,
that is actually your neighbor, Michael. Yeah, no problem.
Our records are actually showing that's actually his vote. Yeah, I know. Black people have votes too now.
Studies show that people of color are more likely to be arrested, convicted, and serve longer sentences than white people for similar crimes. So calling 911 for non-emergency situations is really just a move.
I got so scared when I saw a black guy walking around outside, and so I called 1-844-WHITE-FEAR, and it turns out we're neighbors, and I'm a racist.
Now, black people have been helping white people be better since always.
So she's looking around and standing there?
A regular Frisbee or ultimate Frisbee?
Call it when black people are having a barbecue, taking a nap in a rec room, mowing the lawn, waiting for a friend at a coffee shop, golfing, shopping, enjoying a vacation at their Airbnb, going to work, coming home from work, working while at work, campaigning for office, swimming with socks on, delivering newspapers, buying a house, selling water, parking their car, using a coupon, and so much more. 1-844-WHITE-FEAR. It's a real number for real white people who should mind their own damn business.
What's going on here?
If you've been a victim of 911 harassment, please email us at 844-WHITE-FEAR@nytimes.com.
And that is actually a working phone number if you want to email them or actually call them with an instance of being harassed with a white person calling 911. So a little public service announcement for all of you out there. Brian?
All right. There you go. Hey, listen, you know, I think there's it kind of feels somewhat humorous. It seems like they're trying to take a humorous approach. But at the same time, I think the point in that ad that really hits home for me is when they list all the different instances of activities that African-American people have been partaking in recent history, which have elicited white people to pick up the phone and call the cops. So it's out there.
Right. It's unfortunately true, no doubt about it.
Yes.
So probably the biggest story this week has been the caravan making its way from Central America towards our border.
Hold slow your roll.
Sorry.
Mr. Cole, you're leaving out our third least favorite bit of our show, which is the beef of the week.
Oh my God! How could I almost fly right by that?
How do you leave out the beef of the week?
I apologize, especially knowing how much I love the theme music. So I gotta say, my beef this week is with Netflix for two reasons. Number one, they canceled Luke Cage after its second season, which granted, not as good as season one, but still a hell of a lot better than Iron Fist or The Punisher. So upset about that. And then the fact that they have allowed the Making a Murderer folks to stretch this second season into 10 episodes is just aggravating too. I've gotten through three episodes, some new material there, but I guarantee you the new material in those three episodes could easily have been put together into one. But I'm still going to end up having to watch all 10 episodes just to see what else they can tell me.
Now, I feel this is a scam that we are going to see more and more frequently on Netflix, which is the fact that I feel like they have pioneered the, or let me rephrase, I don't know that they created it, but they definitely revolutionized the serialized program. They basically went from a movie-based to original content, and then everything now is 8 to 10 episode seasons. And it almost feels like there is, if season one is going to be well-received by the public, that there's almost automatically going to be a season two. And unfortunately, because I think in the documentary genre, I'm not sure that there's going to be enough information to warrant a season two.
Or even if there is, you don't necessarily need to do a full 10 episodes again. You know, I mean, we loved Evil Genius, and that kept it to like a tight 5 episodes. And I think that was perfect for that, for what they had there.
Speaking of tight, was also the bomb collar that was around that guy's neck. I mean, that thing, I mean, the police just could not get that off.
It was
snug. No matter how hard they tried.
It was very snug.
It was very snug. Very snug. Very snug.
Brian, what's your beef this week?
Mega Millions.
Oh.
I don't know if, I am not aware of what states surrounding New York the Mega Millions lotto is.
We have it. We have it in Pennsylvania.
You do. Okay. So I know that it is, you know, it's. I don't, you know, I'll look it up quickly because I should have researched.
I believe it is now up to $837 trillion.
I think you're exaggerating slightly.
Not at all.
Well, okay, this is my beef.
Okay.
Is the fact that I genuinely feel that the lottery is a tax on the poor.
I would say it's a tax on the poor. But also I think it's a tax on the stupid that have money, that want more money.
Well, everybody wants more money, but I feel like the problem is that you're dangling this carrot at the end of a stick in front of people that cannot afford to throw money away. The odds of winning Mega Millions are astronomical. I don't even believe that it can actually be quantified. Numerically, I believe, you know, it's one of those things similar to pi, where it is just a number that goes on forever.
I believe I read you have a better chance of being hit by lightning twice in your lifetime.
Yeah, and I today I was coming back from the supermarket and I saw all these people lined up with money in their hand, picking their numbers, and it made me feel so sad that here are people that are so unhappy with their lives that the idea that throwing $10, $20, $40, $60 into this astronomical bet somehow to change their life and whatnot, it just made me feel very sad. I think, it plays on the low-income people who are dreaming that this is going to be their ticket away from poverty or from the day-to-day struggle of making just enough money to pay their bills when they're the ones that can least afford something like that. And speaking of which, after I saw all these people waiting online, I went to approach them to point out it was a fool's folly that they were going down. Handed $40 over to the guy behind the counter, and because you've got to be in it to win it.
I've got my tickets.
I've got mine. Good luck, Ron.
Good luck to you, sir.
That is my beef of the week.
All right. Now, can we talk about this caravan that everybody's talking about?
There's a caravan? What is it, like a bunch of animals coming from the circus?
No.
Is it the three wise men looking for, following the northern star, looking for the baby Jesus?
It is not.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
It is a caravan of Central American immigrants heading towards the United States, which from has.
From the northern triangle?
What's the northern triangle?
Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador.
That would sound about right. It was actually organized by Bartolo Fuentes, an activist and former Honduran lawmaker. He started it with an October 4th Facebook post, told migrants and protesters to gather on October 12th at a bus station in San Pedro Sula, and started making their way towards the United States.
All right, and?
I mean, for whatever reason, it's got everybody on the right up in arms.
Ron, this is news to me. I haven't heard about anything about a caravan. You know me. I don't spend a lot of time on Fox News or FoxNews.net, which I believe is where you get most of your information from your side. So you're going to have to educate me on what is this caravan and why is it newsworthy?
Well, the only reason it is newsworthy is because, you know, Donald Trump is tweeting about it again to draw attention away from all of the other horrible things he is doing. Right now, according to an estimate by the LA Times, the migrant caravan swelled up to about more than 7,000 people in recent days. Other estimates place it somewhere in the thousands. But again, this is actually nothing new. Caravans from Honduras has occurred since the late 1990s, but this appears to be the largest. It's why it's getting a lot of press. But the truth of the record is that as far as border crossings go, they're at their lowest levels in decades. You know, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this week that a record number of migrants has arrived at the U.S.-Mexico border, but that's not true. Border Patrol has arrested roughly 397,000 migrants in the fiscal year, far lower than the arrest levels in the 90s and early 2000s, when arrests frequently exceeded 1 million.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
What is taking place 2 weeks from now?
The Super Bowl?
No.
The March Madness?
No.
The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
The midterm elections.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me this is just a way for the right to stir up all of the racists in their party to get out and vote on November 6th?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why, you would almost have to say that Republicans are out there putting like hateful advertisements out there about people of foreign descent, like Duncan Hunter in California.
Amar Kapanajar is working to infiltrate Congress. He's used three different names to hide his family's ties to terrorism. His grandfather masterminded the Munich Olympic massacre. His father said they deserved to die.
A Palestinian Mexican millennial Democrat named Amar Kapanajar doesn't get his support from the people of San Diego.
He is being supported by CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a well-orchestrated plan.
Amar Kapanajar, a risk we can't ignore.
I'm Duncan Hunter, and I approve this message.
Brian, if you're trying to tell me that the Republican Party is attempting to capitalize on the fear and racism and hate in this country, I don't know if I can buy that.
I think you can. Think about it. We've got a president who sees an opportunity and does not believe in wasting an opportunity. He tweeted out, I believe, was not yesterday, I believe it was the day before that, where he tweeted out that the Democrats want open borders so that they can allow criminals to enter the country, and that's why this caravan needs to be stopped.
So I understand the rhetoric that comes out of the White House and comes out of the Republican Party. But again, in speaking to the voters out there, How ignorant do you have to be at this point to believe any of that? Republicans control the White House, the Senate, and the House. They have the ability to do anything they want. So if you out there believe that Democrats are responsible at this exact moment for the immigration issue, for the tax issue, for the deficit, you're not that bright an individual.
But it's not a matter of being bright. I think it's a matter of, I think there are people that have, I guess they have their own personal political leanings. And if all they do is get their information from Fox News, those leanings are being fed with incredibly subliminally racist information.
True.
You know, I mean, they're being told that these illegal immigrants have been infiltrated, intended illegal immigrants or asylum seekers, if you would, that they are mostly criminals, that they have been infiltrated by Muslim radicals, that they are going to sneak into this country, they are going to rape our women, they're going to steal our jobs, and they're going to buy Tyler Perry DVDs, you know? And these are things that, Republican, Central American, Southern American, white people are do not want to allow.
But it's funny because, Trump had mentioned that there were MS-13 members, Middle Easterners in the group, but today actually had to walk back that claim with the intelligence statement. There's no proof of anything, but there could very well be. Well, yeah, either proof or you don't have proof.
He has no proof. This is the thing. He's never been held to any standard of having to prove the claims that he has made. So why would he stop that when talking about thousands of Central Americans who are on the surface seeking a better life and seeking to get away from gang violence that has wrecked the standard of living in their countries.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that I believe that what these people should do is band together and travel thousands of miles so that they can force entry into the United States. I think it's just terrible. It's very unfortunate timing on their part.
Well, and again, I think it's not even a case of them trying to force their way into this country. You know, they'll travel to the border. Again, this hasn't been the first time one of these caravans has made its way. And basically, Trump wants to send all these National Guardsmen down, close down the borders. But, with the way that laws and are set up, these folks just request to apply for asylum. And then the asylum process begins. And that's all they're doing. They're just going to the border to ask for asylum, and then they have to prove, their hardship to qualify for asylum in this country.
Well, let's see how it goes. I think it's an unfortunate example of, can you imagine? Ron, I would say, what's the furthest you've walked lately? In all honesty,
I had to walk from my, from where I work to the Target next door to get pickles today.
Perfect. All right, here we go. The perfect example. We don't walk very much. Here are people that are willing to walk thousands and thousands of miles for the opportunity to apply to be allowed into this country. I don't think these are people who are sitting there saying, listen, I'm going to do this so that I can steal a job working in a kitchen of a restaurant.
Right. Or if they are criminals or gang members or terrorists, do you really think they're going to try to let everybody know they're coming?
No, not at all. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And though I will say, and I never thought I was going to say this, kudos to Geraldo Rivera.
He stood up against Sean Hannity today.
Was on Fox News and sat there and just blasted Mr. Hannity. Not the first time Mr. Hannity has been blasted in the face, but just stopped him down when Hannity tried to pass out some racist comments. Just basically said, stop it. So good for Geraldo. I wish him good luck on hunting down the Al Capone's crypt.
So moving on, Brian, I think you've got a celebrity obituary this week. And I know we kind of played around with it the other week. I know you mentioned you wanted to take a little bit more of a serious tone this week. So the floor is yours.
Okay, so the celebrity obituary this week that I have is Mr. Dennis Hoff. A lot of you may not remember him or recognize him, but Mr. Hoff was an entrepreneur, a man who owned. Ron. Oh, are we doing this?
Oh, there it is.
Dennis Hoff is the man that owned the Bunny Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace, Dennis Hoff. We didn't hear you sick. You never even coughed. Lived your life surrounded by hoes up at the Bunny Ranch, highs and lows. And speaking of highs, Lamar Odom swung by your crib and almost died when you opened your doors to let him cry. And we blame that lug for ODing on your rug, 'cause he showed up and smoked up all your drugs. You ran for office, thought you'd be real, but the people of Nevada wouldn't elect such a heel. You named your book Art of the Pimp. From what I hear, your junk was limp. You were accused of rape, even though your women were paid to sell dates. You allegedly ignored them when they told you to get off, so go fuck yourself, Dennis Hoff. Oh yeah.
I gotta say, it almost seems like you prepared for that this week.
Listen, when I hear that music come on, I don't even know what just took place. I just blacked out. Dennis Hoff, owner of the Cat House and with the HBO show that was based on his chain of Bunny Ranch brothels in Nevada, glorified scumbag, basically a pimp. Alleged to have sexually assaulted multiple women that worked for him. He is dead. And fuck him. Let's move on.
All right. As those of you who were listening last week remember, we mentioned that we were going to be in attendance at the Hoppy Halloween 4 at Broken Goblet Brewing in Bristol, Pennsylvania on Saturday. Brian, you hopped on a train. You rolled into town, and we headed over to the beer festival.
What a fun time I had.
Awesome time.
I had a great time. It was, first off, I think one thing is true about you and I is that we both enjoy beer.
We do, no question.
So a beer festival is it's a social gathering of people who all enjoy beer, and it is the thing about it that I like so much is the fact that it's surrounded.
Like beer?
Jesus Christ, I love you. How many breweries did they have?
I want to say, I think the number was like 85 this year.
I liked beer.
What I was impressed with by this beer festival was that it took place in the parking lot of the brewery. And it was not a large physical space when first arriving. I actually felt it was kind of small, and I was a little let down when I got there. And within 2 minutes of entry, I realized it was the perfect size.
It is. They used the space well. We got you a cheesesteak, which you didn't get the last time you were in Philly. Props to Jay's Steak and Hoagie Joint that had their food truck out there,
which was delicious, on a pretzel roll. Philly is very big on their pretzels. What is the deal with that?
We do love our soft pretzels, and Jay's actually created this. That's his own soft pretzel roll that he created to put some of his sandwiches on.
Delicious.
And a little side note, just to give Jay more props, he takes 25 cents from the sale of each of those pretzel roll sandwiches, and he donates, he buys food for a food bank every month.
Oh, that's very nice of him. I wish I had ordered a second sandwich only because I had so much beer. But for those that are people who have not been to a beer festival, they, as you walk in, they give you a glass. where you just basically stop by the different tents that different breweries have set up. They pour you samples of the beers that they have brought. I like beer. And
normally that
I liked beer.
Normally that glass is just like a little tasting.
It's like
size,
a five. Usually it's a 5 ounce glass.
5 ounce, whatever. Yeah. These guys, Broken Goblet, hooked everybody up with a full 16 ounce Pilsner glass this year with some sick artwork on it.
Very cool. And the thing that I noticed but never verbalized, and you verbalized it quite well, was how and the beer festival went from 2 to 6. So when we got there, it was a little bit after 2, and they were pouring, you know, I would say adequate size samples of the different
moderate
beers.
Moderate amounts of beer.
By the time it was about 5:30, and I'm going to use your words, not mine, you could tell which breweries did not want to bring home full kegs of beer because they were basically filling up your pint glass.
I mean, it was. I mean, I don't want to say it became a shit show, but because they run a tight ship there, but my body felt like a shit show the following day.
Sunday was rough. But what would you say the high point of your Hoppy Halloween 4 was?
What was the high point of my Hoppy Halloween? I mean, I would give shout out to Manioc Brewery for their Cranberry Ghosts, the cheesesteak. But I think maybe the best part was us getting to sit down with the guys from the Day Drinking Saved My Life podcast towards the end of the day.
The first ever cross podcast. What's the word I'm thinking of? It wasn't an ensemble, a mashup, if you would. We sat down with the two guys from that podcast, and it felt like four friends that had been separated at birth.
Yes, we sat down with Matt. We sat down with Nice, the singing dog.
We talked politics. We talked astrology. We talked flat earth. I mean, we covered so many different gamuts of high intellectual. I was mentally stimulated and challenged, if you would.
It was a great time. So, you know, make sure you check out the Day Drinking Saved My Life podcast. They are on the Backdoor Network. I haven't seen the Hoppy Halloween audio up just yet, but we'll definitely keep you updated for when those episodes go live, especially our episodes, because we're very vain like that. And I got to say, we had this conversation previously. I think they were a lot nicer to us sitting down at their podcast than we probably would have been in the reverse situation with another podcast sitting down in front of us, because we are very bitter, insecure people.
Yes, I completely agree. They were incredibly gracious.
Yes, and I think we're all best friends now.
Yes, absolutely.
So we may be doing some collaborative efforts together in the future. So definitely keep an ear out for that. Also, Nice, the singing dog, currently has a Kickstarter going on right now to raise money to record a new album. So maybe we will share that on the Facebook page later, so you guys can check that out if you're interested.
That would be very cool. That's very nice of you.
You know what? I do what I can from time to time.
They were gracious. We should be equally gracious.
Yes.
Speaking of Halloween, did you see the new Michael Myers movie?
I have not as of yet, but I understand you did on Friday night.
I did go see it opening night, and I will say that it was a pleasure to see a good Halloween movie again.
All right.
In the movie theater. What was interesting about this take on Halloween was that it was a sequel to the original, but goes off in a very different direction than the original Halloween 2 that came out in 1980. So it is, if the first one came out, 40 years has passed, and now we are reconnecting with Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode.
We not corny.
No, it was definitely not corny. It was far from a great movie. At times, it felt like it was a little too much of an homage to the first two movies. But overall, it was an enjoyable horror movie, and I recommend it.
All right. We're definitely going to try and get out to catch that.
We not corny.
And speaking of slasher movies, have you seen the Jamal Khashoggi murder video?
I haven't seen the video. I have heard the description of the audio. It is absolutely horrible, and I hope there is no video out there because it would be bad.
Well, the Turkish government came out with some reports today. No reference to an audio, no reference to video. So I'm not sure that an audio actually does exist. I think that was part of the Turkish government calling the bluff of the Saudi Arabian government, forcing their hand to admit that this man was not simply missing, but had been executed in the Saudi Arabian consulate in Turkey.
And finally,
a lot's happened in the past week.
Well, and finally, after a couple of weeks, President Trump has finally come out and said, you know, maybe the Saudi story just isn't adding up.
Oh, his own words were, it was carried out poorly and the cover-up was one of the worst cover-ups in the history of cover-ups. And this is a man that cover-ups everything.
I know.
He said he's never slept with Stormy Daniels. He said he had no idea that she was being paid off by Michael Cohen. He said that he never colluded with the Russians. He said that he intended every stake under the Trump steak mail-in company was going to be USDA certified. And we know that that was.
He never paid Russian hookers to pee in a bed that the Obamas once slept in.
No, but supposedly a video of that exists.
Oh, I hope so.
So, yeah, so it's and today reports came out that remains of Mr. Khashoggi were found in the grounds of the consulate in Saudi Arabia.
Well, hopefully, you know, it's always good for loved ones to be able to put their pay their respects, bury the lost. So at the very least, if they're able to get the remains back, that's a positive.
Of course. There's nothing positive about this entire story. It is, and I usually don't go for hyperbole. This is a tragedy in every instance of it. Here was a poor man that simply wanted to get married, was coaxed inside the Saudi Arabian consulate, never walked out, and it seems like he was murdered.
Yep.
You know, the Saudi Arabian government claims that it happened as a result of a fist fight that went wrong, despite the fact that there were 18 people there who had all the equipment at the ready to basically cut up his body.
And also he apparently got into a fist fight, but they also had a body double there that was able to put on his clothing, which had no blood on it whatsoever, even though he was supposedly in a fist fight.
Right.
I usually keep a body double around just in case.
I applied for that job, but you did not give that to me.
Well, you know what? It's because you're just so gosh darn handsome. No one would buy it.
Oh, shucks. What else do we have?
Let's see. Well, one last thing we had here. This was something I sent you earlier today regarding the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Chad Kelly, who was arrested out in Denver earlier this morning, apparently broke into somebody's house, sat next to the wife and the kid on the couch, mumbling incoherently. The husband, chased him out of the door, beating him with a vacuum cleaner attachment, apparently. And then he was found in his SUV where he was arrested. And, Sean King, who I follow on Twitter and Facebook,
who's Sean King?
He's an activist. He's very big into a lot of social causes. He's been very supportive of Colin Kaepernick, for one. And that was kind of his point here with Chad Kelly. As he goes back and he shows, Chad Kelly's kind of bad behavior in high school, a series of arrests, same thing in college, series of arrests due to violence. And now this situation, getting arrested again, and Sean's point was that, this is kind of like a perfect snapshot of white privilege, where you have a quarterback like this that has screwed up so many times in the past and has a job in the NFL. But then you have someone like Colin Kaepernick who is being kept out of the NFL. And so, when I first sent that to you, I said, all right, valid point. I think he's got a valid point to make. But the more I read into it, you know, I almost have to disagree with him a little bit, just for the fact that when you look at Chad Kelly and his history and the level he's playing at, and especially the money he's making, you know, Chad Kelly had the distinction in 2017 of being Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft, which is the title given to the absolute last person picked in the draft. So obviously not very high expectations. He stayed in Ole Miss for a year longer than people thought he should. Draft stock dropped, whatever. Anyway, guy signs a four-year, $2.25 million contract with the Broncos. So he's basically playing for $400,000, $500,000 a year. But when you look back a couple of years back, the Denver Broncos attempted to trade for Colin Kaepernick to be a backup quarterback, and he didn't want to play for the pay cut they wanted him to take for the 49ers. So I don't necessarily think it's an equal situation where, you know, I bet you any NFL team would be happy to try and sign somebody of the talent level of a Colin Kaepernick to be a backup quarterback for 4 years, $2.25 million. I don't think Colin Kaepernick would have any interest in playing for any team for that amount of money at this point.
Agreed.
I mean, he's making obviously a significant amount of money from his Nike deal. You know, when you look at the physical risk you put yourself in playing football, is a guy like that really going to do it unless he's getting compensated at a level that he was used to when he was a starting quarterback?
Well said. Could not say it better, actually. That's interesting. I find it interesting how sometimes, you know, the more you look into a story, you look past the most superficial level surface, the story changes.
Right. And normally, normally I agree with Sean King a lot. This time, I'm disagreeing with him a tad. I don't think it's, again, I do think Colin Kaepernick is being held out of the NFL. I do think the owners colluded against him. I don't know that this is necessarily, you know, if anything, I feel bad for Chad Kelly. He's obviously, there's definitely a mental illness issue there, because apparently there was no alcohol in his body when he was arrested. This is obviously very unorthodox behavior for someone like that to have. Hopefully he'll be able to get the treatment he needs now.
So what is he getting treatment for?
Whatever would cause someone to break into someone's house and feel that it's okay to just sit down on their couch, you know, in a home of someone you don't know.
All right.
I got to think there's some wiring that just doesn't quite work there.
I would agree with you there.
That's all I got to say.
What else? Is that it? Beer. That's all we got.
We like beer.
I liked beer.
Oh, and you know what I did? I did forget to play the, I did have a clip from President Trump when they were talking to him earlier about the caravan. The thing that drives me crazy, and I meant to mention this earlier, is why when they interview Donald Trump, he constantly has to be in front of a helicopter while they're talking to him. Like,
because it makes him appear more presidential.
But it's ridiculous, because it's almost as bad as the Kanye visit, where all of the cameras were going off. But you know, he's there and it's like, Mr. President, over here. Even if we were to try to talk like this, maybe we should just do a helicopter sound effect. Maybe that will make us sound more interesting and more professional.
Do you also believe that maybe the helicopter is to keep people from being able to ask him questions?
I mean, you wouldn't think that would be prepared like that, like the president doesn't want to talk to the media.
But he loves talking to the media.
But he does. Only when they want to get his message across.
This is true.
I'm just going to keep the helicopter sound effect going until it runs out. I already feel like I'm more important.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I was thinking Apocalypse Now as well. I don't know why. All right. Anything else this week, Brian?
Just my eternal love for you.
And for you as well. We need more suggestions for drink of the week, preferably not pickle-based, for the love of all that's holy. So give us a couple drinks of the week, and we will get the poll up for that. We will have the poll up for this week in racism. What else did we cover today? Day Drinking Saved My Life podcast, Backdoor Network. Make sure to check them out, and we'll also share the Kickstarter for Nice the Singing Dog. Otherwise, Brian, I hope to do at least 25 more of these with you, if not more.
Let's do it. I'm going to hear, how does this one sound? I will make a personal commitment to you that barring an act of God, we will do another 25.
I love the sound
and
of
I,
it.
I don't mean episodes. I mean years.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I can't even picture what we'll be like when we're 70 doing this. My beef of the week, lazy prostate. Ah, hell, that could be my beef of the week right now, to be perfectly honest. Oh, let's get out of here right, before we share too much more personal information. All right, check us out on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Gram. Hit us up, Drink of the Week, This Week in Racism. Brian,
love you, my man.
Peace. We out.